Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Well, a sports Scales of Truth today, previewing Week 7. But we already finished it and realized it's pretty long. Thus, my interjection here to say that this is part one of a multi-parter. So let us join programming currently in progress. Hello, DeMarcus. How you doing this week?
Doing fantastic. Just ready for another great day of talking football.
Yeah, and so speaking of great days, somebody had a pretty great day on Thursday. We'll get to that. But before we get to that, we thought we'd talk about how we're doing in prediction, because some of the fun is, can we give the caveat again? Don't bet based on us. Don't bet based on us. All we're doing is picking winners, okay?
But speak for yourself, buddy.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we'll see. I am going to build up something to where we see. I think it's working. I might just use your brain afterwards to confirm that it's working. Whether or not, as opposed to did we pick against the winner, did we properly pick against the spread where it just says yes or no, so I can easily see it and it's duplicatable. But for now, we just have what our record was against each other. So last week you went 10-5, I went 9-6. Okay. And total then, I'm at 23-21, barely above 500. Now, granted, week 5 was a really weird week, and you're 27-17. So you are up,
buddy.
You are up 4 games on me already. Okay? 27-17, 23-21. Reason I say week 5 is weird, well, yeah, we were bad. 4-10 and 6-8. We have not always predicted all the games. Starting this last week, we did try to predict Thursday just off the record and keep it, you know, and then you just have to believe us that we did pick it. But we have selected. We'll continue to do that Thursday in advance. Anyway, week 5, 4-10 for me, 6-8 for you. And I just went and said, well, what about favorites winning? In other words, did Vegas at least get the winner right? Forget the spread. So week 4, we started and we selected 15 games. Well, I was 10-5, you were 11-4, and 10 favorites won. Okay, so we're right at it. Week 5, I was 4-10, you were 6-8. Only 6 favorites won in week 5, which is kind of crazy. And weeks, now I'm talking out of the 14 that we picked. We did not catch the Thursday night football that week. Week six, 9-6 for me, 10-5. For you, and 11 favorites won. Now, remember, folks, what we're kind of doing for interest is just making sure we have a minimum number of where we're not picking the favorite and or we're not picking the favorite by the full number of the favorite. So, you know, we're going against the spread. And in week 6, I don't think I finished that, 9-6 for me, 10-5 for you, 11 favorites won. And then that total is, remember, you're ahead of me, 27-17 versus 23-21. Guess how many favorites have won so far in that 3-week period as far as the games that we've selected? If you've gotten 27, how many favorites do you think have won in that period?
I'm going to go with 21.
27. So you have matched the number of favorites. Now, granted, sometimes we're picking against the favorites on purpose, you know, so as any bettor would do. So while we're not bettors, we're simulating that in some fashion with our, you know, head-up picks. And so the prediction rules last week, I said it's stupid, and then I was interpreting it stupidly during the podcast. Really dumb. I don't know what I was saying. But if you want to go find dumb and the fact that Tyson can be dumb, just go listen to how the hell I talked about whether I hit that mark last week. So I had said something, and I've even said it differently here, but it was must select at least 4 against the spread, and at least 2 of those must have been outright underdogs. That's how we really meant it last week. We just didn't really say it that way. Week 7 and on, we're going to do this, and this is an easier way to say it. We must select 5 total underdogs versus the spread, okay? 5. Of those, two must be underdogs winning outright. We select them outright. So how that's going to be is that when you say, I think it's going to be the Chiefs by four, you're actually, that's going to be one of them that counts for the five total, because the Chiefs are probably favored by more than four, right? And so that's how, and we'll find that. We're going to pick our, so we do have to pick a spread, our best guess at what the point differential will be, and then we'll see if it hits the mark afterwards. So you are just obliterating me right now. When I expect that to continue. I'm not good at this. So,
and on DeMarcus, baby.
Yeah, so we both won in seven games, and we're going to use this. We're not going to really talk about what happened last week up front so much as just as it makes sense when we cover those teams, you know, for week seven predictions. But we agreed on seven games where we both won, all right? Where we both lost, we agreed but we both lost, were the Eagles-Giants game, where the Giants got swamped by 17 points, 34-17, against the Giants.
I could have had three upsets correct.
Yeah. And the Seahawks-Jaguars, the favorite won. And that would have been, wait a second. Oh, no. Last second, I picked the Jaguars as well. That's what was throwing me off. That's one where to hit my minimum mark, because I'm too conservative, I had the Seahawks, but it doesn't matter. We both lost on that one when the Seahawks won as a favorite. Commanders-Bears, the favorite lost there.
The Commanders were the favorite, but the Bears won.
Yeah, 25-24, because the Bears have won like three in a row now, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Two, anyways. We disagreed on five games and went 2-3 or 3-2, which depend on how you say it. So you won in Steelers versus Browns. Yeah, you won on that. Steelers won. You won picking the Panthers against the Cowboys. I won.
Different.
What's that?
So I'm just built different.
Yeah. Chargers, I won, but just because it's a favorite, and you picked the underdog there.
I thought Miami was going to do it, though. Don't.
It was close.
I wasn't just picking them. Yeah,
29-27.
Because I had to meet a quota. Like I really thought they were going to pull it off, and they almost did. They should have.
Yeah.
Defense folded.
Titans, Raiders, I won that one. Raiders were favored. You actually thought the Titans could do it, which it was a 10-point win. Bills, Falcons, you picked the Falcons on this.
Yep.
The victory margin was by 10, and I think you picked them by a pretty good margin. So with that,
I took them by like 7, I think. And yeah, no, I'm proud of that one. I was going JFK, and I was saying, why not?
Why not? Okay. JFK. Oh, yeah. Well, you mean ask not what your country can do for you? What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. I totally messed that up. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just wasn't following. So Thursday night football thoughts. I have never been more proud to be an uncle. I'll start there. The Uncle Bowl just shows that uncles can sometimes be incredible. Like, I was so impressed by this game. So they were, Steelers were winless against the division opponents on Thursdays coming in, and we're 2-16 overall. I'm sorry, 3-15 overall on Thursdays. And I didn't see it. So go ahead and respond to Bengals Steelers.
Yeah, buddy. I took Bengals. I texted you before the game, and I was like, they're going to do it. It's just the storyline's too good. Joe Flacco goes in from a division opponent, starts in 2 days. Storyline's too good. And plus, you know, we knew all along the Steelers aren't completely legit. So I was like, now is the time. They're at home. He's going to come in and he's just going to sling it. And that's exactly what he did. Ja'Marr Chase had freaking 23 targets, I believe. Yeah, 23 targets. 16 receptions, which is a franchise record for the Bengals. And 161 and one touchdown. Absolutely sensational. T. Higgins still managed to have 96 receiving yards while Jamar had 161. So Joe was like, screw it. I'm just going to go in there and play some backyard football. I think that's exactly what he did. I thought if they lost, I figured Joe Flacco would get injured on the second play due to the horrible O-line of the Bengals. But nope, he went in there and just absolutely slanged that thing. It was beautiful. Just what a game.
Yeah. And couple things for me, one's related to what you said, but Joe reminded us, because sometimes coaches get too cute, bro, you got Jamar Chase, how about you throw it to him a lot? All right,
that reminded me of
what's that?
Throwing to Tyreek enough.
Yeah And it just reminded me of that, because if you look, Browning's downfall was he hardly used Chase. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't being chased around too much to use Chase, but he had really minimal targets. Like, and I'm not sure about targets, but like 5 and 6 receptions and stuff. And so Flacco goes in and goes, what if I use arguably the best receiver in football a lot? And so he did. And then, and what if I use the two guys that if they leaned into these star players and leaned away from everything else, how about what I can control is I use as much as this salary cap as I possibly can. And it's like, what a good idea. And so,
great idea.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And the other interesting thing is, okay, why did he go there? Why did the Bengals bring in Flacco? On the off chance of what? Winning the division. They're still in it somehow, thanks to how, for the first time in what, 4 years, they actually started off well until Burrow got hurt, right? So they're finding themselves, well, shoot, we could be 3-4. So if we can be 3-4 and Joe can just, string together a few capable, situations, games to stay around 500. If we can just get into the playoffs, who knows? We'd like to not just waste a potential playoff year with Joe Burrow as our quarterback. And that's
this is a huge foundational piece to working towards that, because you're beating a division opponent who is in first right now. And you know the Steelers are going to wind up 10-7 or 9-8. So that is huge.
Huge. And we're going to get to the standings as well to highlight some of that. But also, Bengals, second easiest remaining strength of schedule. Now, where that's coming from, I don't know. I found it, obviously. But I can't tell you exactly where that's coming from this early in the season. That still might be a little bit hard to predict. But this part of it isn't. 5 of their final 10 come against teams that after 6 weeks have 0 or 1 win. So there's something to the Bengals not having a hard schedule. Who knows how they'll do with them. But, and the, you know, if Flacco's upright, he probably has a chance there. Bengals next 3. Jets, Bears, bye. Okay? So if Flacco can survive for 2 weeks, he also gets some rest. Jets, Bears, bye. Okay? And then Steelers again. So you talk about the next 4 weeks, if you can take care of business against the Steelers a second time too, to your point, this looks entirely different, right? And guess what the Steelers have? I'm not saying they have a murderer's row, but this is versus Jets, Bears, bye. All right. Next 3 weeks, Steelers, Packers, Colts, Chargers. Entirely different in strength on average. Now, I'm not saying the Packers are just going to drill everybody, nor am I saying that about the Colts. And I'm certainly not saying that about the Chargers. But if you compare the strength of the next 3 weeks of that, Packers, Colts, Chargers versus Jets, Bears, bye, I think you take the first 9,900 times out of 9,901 chances, right? And the last one, you were just drunk. So, it looks, their strategy is at least alive for them, for the Bengals.
They could easily both meet at 5-4 when it's time for them to clash again.
I'm telling you. And the other thing is this, is that I haven't watched a lot of Aaron Rodgers, honestly. And I've noticed, like, well, he's had some stuff where he's kind of come back. I can't remember the exact sequence of the scoring, but there was a point in the second half, I think they were down by about 10. being the Steelers. And I thought, yeah, he's going to screw it away. And he just kept coming back and answering. And I was impressed by Aaron Rodgers on Thursday because of that. Because I've seen in his Packer days and certainly Jets where as soon as like, well, now you got to really answer, he just doesn't. And he answered every time. So I was impressed by Rodgers. Now,
yeah, no, he looked pretty nice. Yes, he still had two picks, but I'll take four touchdowns, two picks. But
he stayed aggressive with his weapons. He stayed aggressive with his weapons.
He still has it.
Yeah, and that last throw, I don't believe next gen all the time, because I don't think throwing it was the 37, so 63 yards. That's a big throw, okay, for his age. And it's supposed to be high. He got it into the end zone. It would have landed about a yard and a half or two into the end zone. But it was from the 37. That's a 65-yarder. But I don't think going mostly straight down the field, going slightly left, adds another whole 5 yards. It definitely adds two or three. I don't think five. They were like, it's over 69 yards in the air. I'm like, I don't know about that. But it was definitely a 65-yarder and a little bit more than... You know, something like that. A hair more because it wasn't straight down the field.
Right, and that was, you know, maybe they're trying to push it over so that way they can say this. But, yeah, so that stat was about how that was the longest in-air pass attempt in a long time or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah, I saw that too. But, anyway, it was big because you kind of go, well, geez, they're trying to get close enough for it for at least a heave. And I'm like, man, the 40? Or wherever it might have been that it was a 45 and he dropped back, but he had to. You go, it might be a little iffy. Aaron Rodgers' heyday, maybe not, but this is going to be interesting as far as whether they get it to the end zone. And he got it to the end zone fine. Now, it was way up in the air at the goal line. Would have landed, like I said, 2-ish yards in, I think, maybe 2.5. So yeah. That was a great Hail Mary attempt. That's a good arm for a guy his age. Wow.
He's the Hail Mary king.
Yeah, and to your point, he's been the Hail Mary King as far as where it's come out victorious. So with that then, bye teams are the Bills and the Ravens, and the Bills can use it, right? Sheesh.
Definitely.
Bills 4-0 start against teams with 3-21 record. And then they lost two in a row. I say that again. Their 4-0 start was against teams that through week 6, had a 3-21 record. And then they lost two in a row, 20-23 to the Patriots and 14-24 the Falcons. Of course, we know the Ravens are having trouble. So with that then, our standings are interesting, just our regular standings on the AFC side. It's basically 5-1 Colts and 4-2 everybody else. Everybody that's not the number one seed is 4-2. And then the Chiefs are just outside that. That's why this week, now granted you're supposed to win this, but this week's really important. So that, you gain ground. Someone's going to lose there. Okay, the Chargers are 4-2. Pittsburgh's 4-2. New England's 4-2. Buffalo's 4-2. And Jacksonville's 4-2. And Denver's 4-2. You get to 4-3. Then you at least tie with someone. And hopefully multiple people. Right? And now you are in the playoffs. Depending on what the record breaking is. Right? So the Chiefs are number 8. Cincinnati's just out at 3-4 to our point of what we're talking about. And then it's Houston. And so Cincinnati is not out of this thing. Now, it's a lot of people to jump over, right? But it's a bunch of people at 4-2. It's not like you've got one, team at 6-0 and another team at 5-1 and then another team at 5-1. You got a bunch of teams in that same pretty good but not outstanding spot. And Cincinnati, granted with 7 games, right, but they're only 1 game in the victory column out or 2 games in the loss column. So it's still doable. And only 1 away from us in the loss column.
Yep.
Percentage like, I meant to pull the NFC and I apparently did not paste it. Do you have just pull up an NFC standings and tell me what you get there and you can just take that.
So we got Bucks at 1, Packers at 2. Bucks are 5-1, Packers are 3-1-1. Niners are 4-2 at 3. Eagles are 4-2 at 4. Seahawks are 4-2 at 5. Lions are 4-2 at 6. Rams are 4-2 at 7. And then you've got Falcons at the 8th seed with their bye week are 3-2. So even more so on the NFC side, you have the whole 4-2 thing going. So it's anybody's game. I mean, you have the 10 seed, Chicago Bears, are 3-2. Yeah, and so you're just a bye week away from being right there in that mix, really, you know, if you win. And so, and then you've got Panthers at 11, 3-3, Commanders at 12, 3-3. So the whole league is just a toss up right now.
You got to go all the way, you got to go all the way to number 13 in the NFC to get to under 500. Right, because yeah, Dallas is 2-3-1.
And they're still totally in it. They're still totally in it if they decide to turn things around and play football.
Yeah. Only once you get to number 14 are you – well, I mean, Dallas counts. They're under 500, but just because of the tie. But, yeah, 13 and under are where you got to go to even finally be under 500. Whereas up in the AFC, you're under 500 at number 10 – actually, at number 9. So, yeah, pretty interesting. Now, yeah, let's go to those percentages. And I'm going to take one conference. You can take the other and just kind of whatever you think of here. So on the AFC side, you don't have to cover all this in any comprehensive way. Indianapolis, 89% chance to make the playoffs. They're giving them also the highest – no, they're giving them the second highest chance to make the Super Bowl because of the Chiefs' history. Chiefs have a 20% history, which is the highest to make the Super Bowl, only the fourth best chance to make the playoffs. Buffalo still has an 85% chance to make the playoffs, probably mostly based on that really high percentage to win their division, still over 50% to win their division. Pittsburgh right now, again, based on their chance to win their division, which is almost 80%, has an 85% chance to make the playoffs. So Indy, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, KC as far as making the playoffs. And then as far as the fourth highest to make the Super Bowl, it's Kansas City first, Indy second. That's 20% to 16%. Buffalo's still third there at 15% and Pittsburgh at 11%. You're right. Everybody else
I was about to start laughing.
Everybody else is 10% under, 10% or under, and with the Chargers being fifth as far as chance to make the Super Bowl. So, yeah, however you'd like to cover the NFC side then as far as percentages.
Yeah, so you got the Buccaneers with a whopping 90% chance to make the playoffs, 80% chance to win their division. I think they're pretty much a lock for both of those, obviously. And then you've got Packers with 78% chance to make the playoffs. They're the second highest chance. Kind of surprising to me because they do look a little mortal at times. Like maybe they don't have it all figured out. But, you know, I think it's a pretty safe bet, obviously, to make the playoffs. It's just a crazy high percentage. They only have a 44% chance to win their division, though, because it is, you know, in that loaded division with Super Bowl contender Detroit Lions.
Yeah, it's interesting because
starting to sneak up too.
Yeah, number two and number three in the AFC, it was a lot bigger win division percentage versus this NFC side. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And then you've got Niners with a 77% chance to make the playoffs, which is, you know, that's pretty impressive considering that Mac Jones is their quarterback right now. And then you've got them with a 45% chance to win their division. I don't really know how I feel about that one yet. I'm totally
yeah. That's interesting. They're that high to win their make the playoffs, but I guess it makes sense because they believe in that culture, Mac Jones, and they're like, well, Brock Purdy's coming back. So then, least case, you got your choice if there's a quarterback controversy. But both of them are playing pretty good. Yep.
Right, and then you've got Detroit. I'm sure they'll start Purdy. Right, they just gave him all that money. Man, it would be crazy.
He'd have to screw up for 2 or 3 weeks if they weren't going to start him. To me, they definitely give him 2 or 3 weeks.
For sure. And then you've got Detroit, 75% chance to make the playoffs, but they have a higher chance to make the Super Bowl than the Niners, even though they have a 2% less chance to make the playoffs. They have a 16% chance to make the Super Bowl versus the Niners' 10% chance, which actually – Detroit has the highest chance to make the Super Bowl on the NFC side. Buccaneers, even though they have a 90% chance to make the playoffs, only have 14% chance to make the Super Bowl.
So we were
mostly because of the history of them just losing in the divisional.
Yeah, AFC side, we had a 20% then a 16, right? And now here, we don't have anybody at 20. We have 16% for two different teams, Green Bay, Detroit, and then you go Tampa Bay is the highest at 14.
Then it gets interesting because you got Philly with only a 71% chance to make the playoffs, which is, you know, they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is lower than we would have expected through 6 weeks for sure. And they've got a 12% chance to make the Super Bowl. And then you move right on to the Rams with a 69% chance. The Rams are also one of the teams I'm just undecided about. I really liked
them. I totally am too.
Like, I'm rooting for them. I really, really like watching them play. But it's just they're not pulling out games as well as they should be, in my opinion. And then we move on to Seattle, 52% chance to make the playoffs. Seattle, I'm also completely undecided about. They shocked me. I didn't think they were.
I thought that's low. The way they've been playing, I'm surprised it's only 52%, but it's that division, right? I mean, look at that.
I must be right there with them because, man, Seattle is – I just don't believe in them for some reason. I don't know what it is.
No, I get it because who's above? It's San Francisco. It's two other people in their division. So it makes sense. And the other thing that's interesting down in the NFC is that Philly's the only one that there were at least two teams in the AFC side where it's high playoff percentage just because they have such a high percentage to win their division. And Philly, it's the only one up near the top where it's just because it's a really high percentage outside of Tampa Bay to win their division. A 55% chance to win their division basically gets them into the playoffs. The other thing that's interesting is that up in the AFC, we had about five teams that were 10% or higher. On the NFC side, we have six different teams with at least a 10% chance to make the playoffs. On the AFC side, I think it might have been only four. I meant the Super Bowl. I said playoffs. You gotta correct me when I say that.
Yeah.
I've got a 15-second verbatim memory, but sometimes it does take me 15 seconds to go, why did you say that? So... So on the NFC side, six teams have at least a 10% chance to make the Super Bowl, and none of them higher than 16%. On the AFC side, probably the fact that the Chiefs are a 20% chance projected kind of makes up for the fact that that last team, the sixth team, is under a 10% chance to make the Super Bowl. So yeah, interesting playoff picture. And now we'll just go right to our thoughts and our picks. All right. Well, that's the first part of our Sports Scales of Truth previewing week 7 of the NFL this week. As I said, just a little bit long, so we decided to split it up. So look for the second part, which is the first part of our actual picks coming up here before long. Thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth.